Rock Football.
Homestyle Aged Care, fifth quarter.
Cap fans, thanks to KFC. Get into KFC today and taste the habanero hot and crispy. We'll go down to the room shortly. Jed Buse is going to join us, but just some of the reception from the throng on Twitter, or X as we now like to call it, Benny.
Yeah, well, Andrew Daly suggesting seemed like we had our chances but couldn't complete. On to the next one. Emperor suggesting SDK moving into the last quarter and not dominating was not ideal.
The last contest. So he let,
the last contest.
Yeah, he let Briggs basically at that ruck contest go it alone.
Nicholas Bashi suggesting 12-17 in there. Key forwards kick 7-1. That's the difference regardless if Blitz nails that one late directly in front. Juzcat suggesting shocking from set shots. The Cats, the game was lost there. Need the real Henry back ASAP. Blitz awesome and shame he missed that shot. The other Henry would not be able to pick up the 40-inch Swiss ball. He is fumbling a lot. Ollie Henry certainly down on confidence. Corey suggesting bad kicking is bad football. Also, that's a sentiment echoed by Clinton Mitchell. Jezza Jones suggesting Sean Manor is so selfish. He can be at times.
Well, the one in the prelim final is going to always be the one that people remember last year.
Absolutely, and he played on rush to kick. I mean, it's a difference, Rose, if you nail it and kick it, but he did rush an opportunity where he perhaps could have spotted someone up or at least put it to the top of the square and given someone an opportunity and made GWS really nervous. Instead, he blazed away and it actually went out on the full.
But still inexperienced
player.
Yeah,
he's only a second-year player. Yeah. So Trent Waddle suggesting long time in footy is 1 week, opposite to last week, probably with a better team, just couldn't finish. Danger, what were you thinking in terms of danger? If he had had an opportunity late in the game, he affected a turnover and then had the ability to probably run to about 30, 35 metres and have a shot. He tried to pass and his kick actually didn't have enough on it to get to his teammate. I think it might have been Shannon Neal.
That's right.
And GWS were able to scramble numbers back and lock it up and then get it out. So there was a real opportunity there. But look, there's what-ifs all over the field throughout the game, and Geelong played well, they unfortunately, and probably a good call from Trent Waddle there. They probably did the reverse of last week. Collingwood were probably the better side last week. Geelong has somehow fashioned a win.
Snuck in front.
And today, Geelong perhaps, I don't know if you'd say they were the better side. They certainly had more of the ball. After half time, the inside 50 count was 33-22, and I mentioned it earlier, Geelong kicked 5-9 to 7-2 in the second half, so that's probably the game right there.
Yeah, thank you for that, Benny. Just having a look at the numbers from this year. So the Cats' losses this year, 7 points to St Kilda, 9 to the Brisbane Lions, 18 to Carlton, and were well in that contest late, and then throw in a 4-point loss here, and their combined losing margin is 38 points for their 4 losses. And you can't say they don't give us great value.
Oh, no, you can't say that at all, King. It was a great contest to watch. Like, we all hope that Geelong had have got over the line. They didn't, but it was a terrific game of footy. And there's, you know, swings and roundabouts and momentum changes and all that sort of stuff. At the end of a couple of hours of playing footy, it's 4 points the difference. And Geelong, as we've just gone through, according to the numbers and what we saw, more time inside forward 50, more clearances, those types of things, generated chances. They've kicked, 31 shots at goal to 25. Mm. They get beaten by under a kick. There's a lot to like. At the same time, there's a lot to be a little bit frustrated with. GWS, albeit they've come in on the back of 3 losses, they're a good side.
Yeah.
Most people would have, if had you done your crystal ball at the start of the year, most people have GWS in their top 4.
Yeah.
So, yes, we don't like losing, but not disgraced at all.
Just in the other game, Kingy 2, early in the third quarter, and the margin is 15 points. Brisbane is 6-5-41, and North Melbourne are 4-2-26.
That game down in Hobart. Richmond 11-15-81 by 2 points over West Coast 11-13-79. So, Benny, we didn't have the close one.
We didn't, Kingy, unfortunately.
Geelong 11-9-75 in the VFL, lost to the GWS Giants 16-11-107. And it was a win for the Falcons boys in Talent League action, but a loss for the Falcons girls. Both played the Gippsland Power at Werribee this afternoon. We're shortly going down into the rooms. So just waiting to see whether we are able to have a chat with Jed Buse. Just waiting for that word to come.
Just on the KFC Twitter too, Bennett the Caddy suggesting, I thought we'd win that on postals. Todd Nicholas suggesting lack of composure at the key moments. Really missed the key backman in Stuart Henry and Colin Jasny.
Yeah, so Colin Jasny, a back spasm, has seen him miss the VFL today, but he won't be too far away. I thought Buse, considering first game back, Neil D, and you did touch on it, just he was clean for. And I suppose the thing for Jed Buse was the injury that he had allowed him to maintain running fitness. He might not have had footy fitness getting his hands on the ball and the like, but that's why they were so confident they could back him in today, and he produced.
He did. He played well, irrespective, first game back, you know, 15th game in a row, whatever it was. He played really well, and he did some really good things. There were a couple of important outnumbers that they had across their half-back line, the Cats, that enabled them to rebound the footy. He did everything in his power to get him in a winning position.
Homestyle Aged Care, fifth quarter, the next best thing to being at home.
Just get a sense from, you know, Jed Buse, that Geelong are such an experienced group. They don't get too high or too low. They'd be disappointed not to win. You know, all the losses do, in terms of your ladder position, can be really meaningful and impactful in terms of that finals makeup. But I think on what they delivered tonight, with no Stewart, no Humphreys, you know, no Jack Henry, no Collar Jasny, you know, their defence was a little bit compromised. And when you've got a forward like Hogan who kicks seven in a good team, when he's kicked seven of their 16, Geelong only kicked 14 as a team, and one player in the opposition has kicked half that. So it makes it really difficult when you're a little bit hamstrung in that department. You mentioned Newity too. I just wondered, you mentioned during the call that De Koning was playing Hogan, and I'm not sure he's on him the whole time because that's not the way footy works, but he was on him a lot.
Yeah.
You said he was playing him a different way, playing him up the ground, because they're one of the teams that actually get the ball on the lead. Hogan's very good hit-up lead.
Yeah.
But he actually ended up getting done a lot out the back.
Yeah. Look, yeah, you're right. And I think in those circumstances, it's really interesting because we're honing in on something at the very last line. A lot of that stuff, whether or not the key forwards can play back shoulder, you'll hear that a little bit, whether that's the right thing to do or you play in front, it's basically dictated to about what happens in between the arcs. If there's not enough pressure going on, that's where it makes it really awkward. There are a couple of times today where we heard Jed Buse talk about, we almost intercepted a couple of those footies coming back through the corridor. Had they done that, but they didn't, and that left, if they get in out the back and the opposition midfielders are running straight at you, you're in all sorts of trouble. So it certainly would have been a discussion point, but you're right, you look back and you think, geez, kick seven. Potentially, let's look at playing a different way.
Well, he's the difference in the game, really, isn't he? I mean, 100%. I know there are other factors, but you've got one player who's able to kick seven goals. And for the Cats, I mean, Dangerfield, his work rate was enormous, but he didn't have the same impact. And he's not going to have 15 possessions and kick four goals every week. I mean,
no,
footy just doesn't work like that. But he's had a relatively quiet day, particularly on numbers, just kick 1-1 from five kicks. And he had an opportunity late to maybe change the game, the course of the game. But it's credit to Jesse Hogan. I mean, he has come from the clouds, hasn't he, really? And somehow, for whatever reason, has absolutely fitted in at GWS and become a dominant, probably the dominant power forward in the competition.
His hands
are unbelievable.
Look, he was, as a kid, so I was at Melbourne when he was taken as a 17-year-old. Coming through as a junior, he was the one. He came through junior footy as being able to play key forward, key back, and they even played him as a running mid, as a junior. He had talent to burn. He came into the system really, really early, really young, played young, went back home. His father passed away, I reckon. It was really sick when he was young, and there was some family, and he's settled. And what we're seeing now, really, it'd almost be the twilight of his career. We're seeing his best footy. He always had this talent. He's a tremendous runner for his size, or for any size. So we're seeing someone in a really settled environment. Also out of the limelight. He never really enjoyed the Melbourne limelight. And then all of a sudden he went back to Perth, where it's a two-team town, crazy about footy. He'd just be one of the lads, one of the people that get around up in Sydney, attracting no limelight, and this is what you get.
The other thing he's done is he's kicking for goal. I mean, it was probably an issue for him for a number of years, and now he can't miss. He's kicked 7-1 tonight.
It still makes not a lot of sense, his run-up. In the theory of everyone does it differently, you work out a routine that works for you. It's the outcome that counts. If you keep it, no matter how weird it looks, if he keeps the same process going every time, he feels confident doing it. Well played.
And the irony too there is that if you were sort of backing someone to kick a goal for the Cats, it'd be Stengel. And he's kicked 2-4 tonight.
Yep.
He's a very good kick for goal, Stengel, and usually he's automatic. No one's automatic, but you'd have his money on Stengel. He'd kicked 8-6 coming in. He kicked 2-4 tonight.
In a 4-point loss.
Yeah. Shannon Neal's kicked 1-2, and Mark Blitzar's kicked the two behinds as well. But the one there that sticks out for the Cats in terms of being a little bit off was Tyson Stengel.
Yeah.
Can I just circle back, Newty?
Yes, mate.
Great honesty from Jed about how he picked up the phone to Chris Scott and said, pick me.
Yeah.
Not many players would have the gumption to do that, would they?
Well, look, I'm not certain. One thing it said to me was, it said more about Chris and the environment that they have at Geelong. Mm. That's just a mature adult conversation. And I think that's absolutely wonderful. If you've got an environment where a player who hasn't played in the senior team for a little while knows his body, feels really good about it, and he's able just to pick up the phone and talk to the coach in that manner, it says that what a ripping environment.
Do you think he'd place any credence on that, Chris Scott, or he'd just say, look, thanks for the call? Or?
Well, I'm saying yes, but you would pay more credence the stronger the relationship you have with the players. So Jed Buse is an experienced player. He's a veteran in this club. Chris is, I don't know if he... Jed probably hasn't had another coach, has he? Was he here when Bomber was here?
No, drafted in 2011.
So he's only had Chris as a coach. So the relationship is across 14 or 15 seasons. Yeah, you would place great credibility in that.
The irony, too, is that he was left out of the team for a majority of last year. Yeah. He played in the twos. I don't think he got a crack until about...
No, he got injured. He was due to play about this time last year. He was due to go to the Gold Coast game in Darwin and did an ankle. And that set him back. You reckon he was a bit behind the eight
but
ball.
But he was on the outer.
He
spent a while in the VFL.
Yeah, he was injured for a while, but it was later in the year that he had to fight his way back. And I reckon he might have even come back and got dropped and then came back again.
Yeah, anyway, credit to him, he was good tonight.
Absolutely.
I mean, the other thing is that they've got players to come back, so he's no certainty to hold his spot. On what he did tonight, he will, but you've got players like the calibre of Humphreys, Tom Stewart,
Jack Henry, probably play.
And even Jake Colajasny, who's a different player to Busey, to come back into that side.
Now, this is unlike me, because I always try to take the player view and remind everybody how hard it is and the pressure and the toughness and the running and that sort of stuff. What's going on with Ollie Henry?
A player devoid of confidence.
Yeah, he's lost all.
He took those two really good marks in the second quarter. And, like, I know there's a lot of commentary around with Dangerfield's in the forward line and then Cameron is and where do you go. He just didn't look like he was going to contribute too much. Now, I don't want to be critical. Like, he's a ripping guy and works his backside off and all that sort of stuff. Something's not working there.
He's second-guessing himself a bit too,
yeah.
I reckon. Just fumbly, you know, when he would normally go for the footy, he seems to have... I think that there is a little bit to the Dangerfield move into the forward line that has changed the dynamic, because he's gone from being a forward that kicked what he kicked last year, Benny, 43, 44 goals, I think.
Henry?
Yeah.
That's a lot of goals. That's almost it.
You know, he's averaged as good as two goals a game since he came to the Cats.
Dynamic. But, I mean, certainly Dangerfield has the flow-on effect for that is it's pushed. I mean, we heard about 3 or 4 weeks ago, might have been, was it James Raleigh suggesting, they've had to try and push him up onto the wing at times, and he's not really a wingman. And look, the other one too that the Cat fans are probably going to come for is Joey Clark.
Yeah.
He's had a few opportunities, had two effective disposals tonight and has been subbed out of the game, playing wing and sort of on ball. So,
How many games has he played? He's all right. He's got ages to go.
Well, hopefully, but he's...
How many games he played?
22.
He's 22, 20 years of age.
Move on next.
He's just sort of, I don't know, it's interesting. It'd be interesting to see how it unfolds, but he's only, 181? He's not super quick. Anyway, hopefully he does, but he has given some chances. You have to think tonight he's probably out of the team next week.
Well, Tom Stewart should be back.
Yeah.
And they expect him to play, so it'll be...
And Humphreys.
Yeah, and Humphreys.
But they'll go back. That's not an impact.
Yeah.
No, that's right, but then somebody probably pushes up perhaps into a position on the wing.
O'Connor or somebody like that.
Although O'Connor's been really good down back.
Duncan, how many games in a row is he going to play?
Well, he's only played two.
Yeah.
Interesting with Duncan is...
he's playing back.
Yeah, 298 for Mitch, by the way, so two more for 300 for him. Just, I want to touch on before...
300 against the Doggies here.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. And Dangerfield's closing in. Dangerfield will play 350 if he doesn't miss against Gold Coast.
And just around the grounds too, Kingy, North Melbourne within 5 points of the Brisbane Lions with 25 minutes gone in the third quarter. It's six low scoring, 6-9 playing 6-4. I think they've kicked the only two goals.
Brisbane just kicked a goal, Benny.
Okay, so it's 51, is it?
Yep.
51-40, but North Melbourne making a good fist of it.
Where
against
is that
the reigning premier in Tassie.
Ninja?
Yep.
What?
Ninja Stadium?
Belreave.
Ninja.
For there.
For a night game on a Sunday. Gee, be
Happy Mother's Day.
Be a little bit nippy.
Just on the weekend of footy, margin Thursday 14, margin Friday 15. Melbourne and Hawthorn was close for three quarters. That ended up being 35. Last night at Docklands, 8 points between the Bombers and the Swans. 10 points between Gold Coast and the Dogs.
That was a goal after the siren.
Yep. But still, yeah.
Close.
Yeah, still close. Yeah, well, oh, sorry, yeah, but Gold Coast goal.
Gold Coast hit the sorry, yeah, so it was actually only...
Yeah, 4 points in that time. 5 points in the showdown. 2 points at the MCG. It's 11 points there. It's not a bad weekend of footy.
No, it's a
certainly
it's
not
a
reading out the scores of some of the GFNL games, are you?
No.
I wish I hadn't have opened that door, unfortunately. Jason Doherty's back from the vanquished Geelong rooms. Can you give us a sense of the mood and anything injury-wise that we need to be across for St John of God Hospital?
Very quiet, Tom, in the Geelong rooms, as you would expect.
No hangers-on?
No Jesse Stringer?
No Jesse Stringer. And no injuries I could ascertain. So apart from Jesse Stringer, who's a hamstring. So he'll be he'll miss a few for the Giants.
His half-brother stayed out there and kicked seven.
He did. Jake Hogan did very well.
Well played. Thank you for that. Benny, can you please give us some Kerr's Hire stats before rolling in to the Hamlin Hangar? Kerr's Hire, your local hire company, since 1982.
Well, Geelong will be, nearly sort of suggested it was perhaps the one that got away, albeit they're a good team, GWS. But Geelong have ended up with 15 more inside 50, 61-46. They had 11 more in the second half and were outscored 7-2-5, goals 9. They had 10 more clearances, which has been a concern for them at certain times throughout this year. They also outscored GWS 8-5-5-2 from them. Those clearances. Contested possession was plus 7 to the Giants. Tackle count plus 7 to the Cats, 69-62. Not much in the effective disposals, pretty much split down the middle. Similar with uncontested possession, also similar with metres gained. Bailey Smith ended up with 35 possessions for the Cats, 10 tackles, 4 clearances, 8 marks and 12 score involvements. Max Holmes had 30 touches and 14 score involvements, 6 clearances to go with that. Grime Meisel thought he was pretty good. He worked into the game, 23 possessions, 1 goal. Mitch Duncan had 21 and a goal. DeConing, he had his hands full DeConing at times. He ended up with 21, some of them kick-outs. Blitzarv's 20. I thought Blitzarv's was really good in the ruck. He had 6 clearances with that. Dempsey, 19 and 2. Tommy Atkins, 19, ended up with 8 tackles, 6 of those coming after halftime. And Jed Buse, the man we spoke to post-game, I thought he was pretty good. 17 possessions, provide a little bit of run, which the Cats needed, obviously, with Lawson Humphries and Tom Stewart out. Manor, 15 and 2. Jeremy Cameron, he's still just sort of going, isn't he, Jeremy Cameron? 15 possessions and 2 goals, 1 for the Giants. Tom Green in game 100 at 37. Whitfield 30, although I'm tipping that 17 of those are kick-ins. So I don't think he was hugely damaging.
No.
Callaghan had 29 and was good. He had 11 contested, 7 tackles, 4 clearances and 5 score involvements. Lockie Ash had 25. He was good off half-back. Jesse Hogan was probably the match winner. Well, probably wasn't. He is the match winner.
Yep.
He had 13 kicks and kicked 7 goals, 1, if you don't mind. Himmelberg, 21. Toby Green, 18 and 1 goal. And Callum Ward, the veteran, 18 and 1. Just a couple of players for the Cats who struggle. We've mentioned them. Jai Clark, just 2 effective disposals. Ollie Henry kicked 1 goal, 1 from 5 kicks. Brad Close was pretty quiet tonight. Just 4 kicks, 1 goal, 1 tackle. Mullen, 4 possessions, 4 kicks, I should say, just 1 tackle. And the other one who probably had a night of near misses was Tyson Stengel. He got the ball okay. He kicked 2 goals, 4, unfortunately, from his 9 kicks.
Thank you for that, Benny. Good work by you. Your local hire company since 1982 is Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales. Thanks to Jared and all the team. Time for the Hamlin Hangar for this evening. Hamlin Homes has a new custom home in Torquay, open by appointment. Benny, and if you're looking to build or wanting to buy in Torquay, you won't want to miss your chance to see this home. What is it?
Well, it was
Jason Burris from Pixel Sports Media taking some great snaps today, both of the VFL and the AFL. Keep an eye out for those on our socials in the next 24 to 48 hours. It's the fifth quarter for Homestyle Aged Care. It's the next best thing to being at home, Benny. Check out Homestyle Aged Care at homestyleagedcare.com.au. Tailored leisure program, on-site chef-prepared meals, 24/7 registered nurses with homes, three homes conveniently located in Geelong.
K-Rock Football. Homestyle Aged Care, fifth quarter.